traveling today, and we keep them in our prayers as they do travel. We also give thanks for the blessing of your presence here with us today. You may notice that I'm wearing a collar today. I do not normally wear one. I typically do not, but I'm wearing it today because Troy Perry worked so very hard for my right to wear it. And so I'm wearing it today. Also, it's been pointed out to me that the clock in the back has stopped working, so y'all are in trouble. I'll try hard not to get wound up. Will you join me in prayer, please? Holy One, loving Creator, Spirit of the living God, inspire we your people to dream wider dreams, moving beyond walls and through our human created obstacles, our divisions and our tribes. Help us to heal from the pain caused to us by others. And help us to find our strength in what others may believe is our weakness. Help us to be filled with you, to rise and find relief. And help us to be aware of your presence moving in us, around us, and through us. Lead us together. In your many holy names we pray. Amen. In the introduction of his book, Gates of the Forest, Elie Wiesel relates this rabbinical story that is often used to communicate the power of narrative, the power of story. When the great rabbi Israel Baal Shem Tov saw misfortune threatening the Jews, it was his custom to go to a certain part of the forest to meditate. There he would light a fire and say a special prayer, and the miracle would be accomplished and misfortune averted. Later, when his disciple, the celebrated Magrid of Mezrech, had occasion for the same reason to intercede with heaven, he would go to the same place in the forest and say, Creator of the universe, listen, I do not know how to light the fire, but I am still able to say the prayer. Again, the miracle would be accomplished. Still later, Moshe Leib of Sassoff, in order to save his people once more, would go into the forest and say, I do not know the prayer, but I know the place, and this must be sufficient. It was sufficient, and the miracle was accomplished. Then it fell to Israel Rashin to overcome misfortune. Sitting in his armchair, his head in his hands, he spoke to God, I am unable to light the fire, and I do not know the prayer. I cannot even find the place in the forest. All I can do is tell the story, and this must be sufficient. And it was. Often our stories are sufficient to help us accomplish the miracles that we need in life. And yet all too often we fail to realize or to understand or experience the power that they possess. The power that they possess in the way that they are able to help us move our lives forward. It pains me deeply that so many, for whatever reason, will never experience the opportunity to authentically engage with a religious tradition and a religious community. For it is all too often only in such places that we are able to learn the art of using the extraordinary to plumb the mysteries of the extraordinary. Only here that we are able to more deeply explore the great mystery of life itself. Now, this aspect of church life far transcends any concept of belief, righteousness, or even devotion. Because the great stories of our religious tradition teach us, if we are careful and if we pay attention, how to parse out the stories of our own lives and how to find greater meaning within them, especially the moments in our lives that appear flawed, moments that may feel like failures and disappointments, and times of great adversity and loss. For it is precisely how we deal with these moments and our subsequent wounds that often determines the course and the very character of our lives. The stories of our faith tradition show us the way of finding healing within the pain that we may experience, and stories that help us grind some sense out of the wrenching realities of our daily lives. Of course, it's not only in religious communities that we are able to access such stories. Many today are accessing such stories in the Marvel Universe. These movies are huge cinematic productions costing hundreds of millions of dollars based on characters and stories that originated in comic books. Comic books that often cost less than 25 cents back in the day. Comic books are awesome examples of easily accessible stories that change lives, make superheroes out of seemingly ordinary folk, saviors from those who have been battered and beaten, they themselves somehow damaged and wounded, yet who manage to draw strength and energy from their injuries, who are able to take their shortcomings and their liabilities and create lives that live and work. Lives that work in service to others, lives that work toward saving the lives of other people, the salvation of others. These heroes are outsiders, the eccentrics, the queer people mocked for their differences, yet who ultimately become the saviors of their cities and sometimes their world. In the superhero universe, there is something called the origin story. It is the beginning of the hero's journey. It may reveal motivations as well as the origin of a hero's superpowers and the circumstances leading up to that moment. There's always a sense of purpose and direction revealed in visiting and revisiting one's origin story. The passage from Acts that we heard today is Pentecost, and it is regarded as the birth of the Christian church by many, the origin story of the Christian church. A moment when, filled with the Holy Spirit, the palpable presence of divinity, the apostles began speaking in new ways and in other tongues and different languages so as to be understood by all, speaking about the wonders, the marvels, the power, and the love of God. Spirit flame, the breath of God, Ruach HaKodesh, crossing and transcending human-created barriers and obstacles of language, bringing about a greater understanding between people and connecting them together with God. How were the apostles received in this endeavor? These people who dared speak in ways that others could understand, in ways that foreigners and strangers could make sense of. Well, some people thought they were drunk, or crazy, or both. And while some sneered and others offered judgment, many others, different people from different locations, were actually able to understand them, making the marvels and stories of God accessible to all who would listen. The love of God, God's love, accessible to all who would listen. As origin stories go, it's a pretty good one. It's powerful. The Spirit of God being poured out so that the good news, the gospel, the God story could be understood by strangers and foreigners. People from other locations, socially, culturally, and geographically. These people could hear the good news and the love of God spoken in their own language. The story and the love of God could reach the unreachable. The apostles had undergone a very traumatic time. Weeks earlier, their teacher, their friend, their rabbi, the one that they had followed for years, had been brutally put to death. They had feared for their own lives. They had hidden for a time, become closeted behind locked doors. They had moved through the period of resurrection, and some had even had encounters with the risen Christ. Yet they really didn't know what all of this meant. And the future of the church in Christianity was by no means certain. And yet, it was in that moment that we call Pentecost that things really begin to come together and make sense to them. Telling and retelling the stories of Jesus among themselves surely helped. And telling and retelling the story of Pentecost, which became their origin story, surely helped as well. And all who call on the name of God will be saved. That sounds pretty open-ended to me. And all who call on the name of God will be saved. No exceptions, no kidding. Troy Perry was a Pentecostal minister, defrocked for being gay in the early 1960s. Pentecostals, that denomination, that branch of Christianity that emphasizes a direct and personal experience of God through the Holy Spirit, a denomination that I have connections and roots with, one that believes that a person can live a life that is filled with the presence of the Holy Spirit within, and where one can experience spontaneous bursts of the palpable presence of the divine. And it takes its name from that very passage in Acts. So Troy was a defrocked Pentecostal minister. Defrocked, it means, sounds bad, doesn't it? It really does. In the clergy business, it's has shameful connotations. Defrocked, kicked out, credentials pulled, shut out from the church, out of the reach of the community and presumably God. Yet, as a Pentecostal minister, Troy was uniquely equipped and had experienced the movement of the Spirit within. And he believed devoutly in having that personal relationship with God. He may have lost the church, and the church lost him, but he never lost God. And God never lost him. Fast forward a few years later to 1968. Troy's lover, Benny, had broken up with him. Such a loss, a traumatic experience. Troy was feeling like a failure in so many respects, as if his life was already over. He wandered the wilderness. He attempted suicide. But ultimately, what saved him was his desire to save others. His desire to tell others the love of God, to tell others who had never heard the story before, to tell others for whom the story was completely inaccessible. Troy wanted them to understand the marvels, the miracles, and the love of God. You see, his friend Carlos had been arrested and was likely to lose his job, and he told Troy, nobody cares, nobody likes a queer. Troy told him that he was convinced that God cared about him, to which Carlos laughed and said, God doesn't care about queers. He probably thought that Troy was drunk or crazy or both. Yet this time, Troy felt the full weight of another's despair on him. Not his own, but the despair of another. And like a superhero who overcomes great odds and who finds their salvation in the saving of others, Troy was beginning to save himself. Indeed, sometimes we are saved by saving others. We are helped by helping others. Troy knelt and prayed, God, if it's your will, if you want to see a church started as an outreach into our community, you just let me know when. And he heard a still small voice within say, now. So Troy set about working to make that happen, a way to get the love of God across to people who simply did not speak that language. It was unbelievably hard at that time. I can't even begin to communicate that to you. It was the third rail of both the gay community and the church community. Neither wanted to talk about it. In fact, in some ways, the risk of arrest for an openly gay person entering a church was greater than that of entering a bar. Now, nowadays, there are many gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, intersex, queer, and questioning affirming churches. Many of them. And that's a miracle. But 50 years ago, none of those churches would have even let you in the door if they knew who you were. They wouldn't let me in the pulpit. They would have had me arrested. Queers belong in a dimly lit bar in a dangerous neighborhood, not in the church, not near the love of God. Oh, maybe one denomination then would have said, we're thinking about it. You can join us if you want, but we're not talking about it, okay? Just sit and be quiet. Stay locked in the closet. There were simply no gay, lesbian, bisexual, intersex, queer, and questioning, affirming denominations. Troy's housemate put it this way: helping queens get religion isn't something that anybody wants to do. Nobody wants to do that. Why do you want to do it, Troy? But Troy put an ad in the Advocate, and that gay paper almost did not run the ad. They thought he was crazy. And he spread it by word of mouth. And lo and behold, on October 6, 1968, 12 people showed up. There was a straight person. There was a lesbian. There was a gay man. There was a bi person. There was a trans person. At least one person from each one of our tribes was there. Was there in Troy Perry's living room on October 6, 1968, 50 years ago. And they were not all white. And some were indeed afraid that the police might show up. Queer people meeting for church? That was both a defiant act of revolution and an act of hope. And this almost 1 year before the Stonewall riot, the riot that began our GLBTIQQ journey to liberation in earnest. Now, in one of my very queer Bible classes, that might have even been the title of the Bible class, this time in history was called a movement of the Spirit. The Spirit of liberation, the Spirit of God liberating all of God's people, gay liberation, women's liberation, civil rights marches. And there on the cusp, just behind all of that, sat 12 people in the living room of a shotgun house in Huntington Park, California, creating the possibility, just the possibility, of a church that would minister to the GLBI. QQ communities. Born of despair and hate and arrest and broken relationships, born of the pain of isolation, a church born gay, lesbian, bi, and trans, a church born that way, rising from the wreckage of society's isolation and religious judgment. Troy Perry was indeed the voice of Pentecost. Finally falling upon the ears of the queer community in a way and in a language and from a source that could be understood. And I want to be clear here. The straight people who are willing and unafraid to be with us, to stand with us, are indeed queer like us. As queer as we are, as strange as we are, as different from others who may shun us out of some kind of fear. They are different like us. And they are fabulous and fearless like us. In closing, Troy said this of the early MCC church: we had very little trouble with doctrine. We never made it an issue. It was a church of doing. It was a church of doing. Do love your God. Do stand tall. Do walk proud. Do love your neighbor as yourself. These were the kinds of things that we wanted to state positively, to do Now, while many other denominations have made a journey toward the acceptance of GLBTIQQ people, MCC was indeed born that way. That's how we began. Founded and forged within the community and by the community. And it's that superpower that is diversity. That Pentecostal spirit that church does, that church loves, that church was born from the passion of one who would not take no, who would not take hate for an answer. What is your origin story? What is your superpower? Have you discovered it yet? Have you even looked for it? Because you have one, I promise you. We know hope, we know joy, we know sorrow, and we know survival, and we know love, and we know love is love. And we know that MCC was born that way. So it is.